Some years ago, a very famous archbishop, who was an Orthodox archbishop from the Eastern Church, said these words: "We should try to live in such a way that if the Gospels were lost, they could be rewritten by looking at us." I'll say it again. We should try to live in such a way that if the Gospels were lost, they could be rewritten by looking at us. That is a Christian aspiration. How could our lives somehow reflect the life of Christ, all that he did and said and was in those Gospels that we do have? But that is what we are called to do and to be if we are to follow him, to obey that call that we've just heard read to us in the Gospel: follow me, to reflect the life of the Gospels. That, of course, has been an aspiration for generations of Christians, as it has, I suspect, for all people of faith, that they seek to live as they believe God wants them to live. In that first reading, we heard Moses going up and down like a yo-yo on the mountain. He goes up to God, receives his instructions, then goes down and tells them to the people, and they say, "Aye, aye, sir," and then up he goes the mountain again. And it's a bit like that in the book of Exodus. He's continually going up, going down to the people. He's a go-between. He tried to share with them what he believed God had told him about the way they should live, the way that God wanted them to live. And that winding story, that winding quest through the whole of the Old Testament is how that relationship was worked out. How they tried to live, how they failed. How God took pity on them, redeemed them, strengthened them, how they failed again, and so on. In the person of Jesus Christ, we never think of him as a go-between. You might think his coming to earth and going back to heaven was a sort of going up and going down, but he was no go-between. He was a downcomer. He was the one that brought God down to earth. He showed us what God is, and therefore what we have in the Gospels and what we try to reflect is the closest thing we can ever get to being in the presence of God as we try to live like that. And how is that we're going to do that as professing Christians? And as our candidates this evening will shortly be making promises that they will be trying to do their best with God's help to reflect the values of the Gospel, to follow Christ. Well, I believe we can only do this when we come to face that magisterial symbol which stands at the heart of the Christian faith, the cross of Christ. Two rough-hewn planks of wood on which he was executed. And they've often been thought of as a symbolic way of our relationship with God. They were designed for the body of a human being to execute them. And the arms were stretched out and nailed to the cross. But Christians have seen in that action and in that sign the embrace of God, the outstretched arms of the Lord welcoming all who come to him. And the vertical beam of the cross, rooted in the ground, reminds us that the cross stands in history of all the generations that led up to the death of Christ and pointing on into the heavens to all that were to come. That what Jesus accomplished on that cross, on those outstretched arms, was for all time and for all people. And it's when we can put ourselves at the face to face with that cross and stand at its foot and behold the figure there and saying, "You are my Lord, I will try to carry the cross you have made for me." And that will be slightly different for each one of us, what that calling to pick up our own cross is going to be. Being a Christian isn't easy. This evening we are reminded of being part of a worldwide family. A couple of weeks ago, when the Archbishop baptized Prince George in London, he said to the royal family, "Prince George is now a member of a family of 2,000 million people. 2 billion people. Christians in the world at present." If we were all trying our best, through God's help, to reflect the life of the gospel, what a transformation that would be. But the truth is, we could, with God's help. And so this service this evening is a reminder to each one of us that that simple call that we heard in the gospel, "Follow me," is an invitation. It is the outstretched arms of Christ welcoming those who come to him. No preconditions, simple acceptance. And he asks us to come to the cross and accept the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the strength that only he can give. So for our candidates this evening, it's not about having right answers or ticking boxes or knowing everything. It's simply about taking a leap of faith, putting out your hand to God, and God grasping that hand and walking with you as you journey in faith. And your example will be to us this evening an inspiration, because we're all on that journey too, often failing, often losing our way. But we need to be reminded through you that we are called to be living witnesses to the gospel, and that God's grace and love is there for every one of us. Amen.
Would those who are going to be confirmed please stand? The baptism candidates, please stand and come out here. And would those who are reaffirming their vows of baptism please stand as well? And the rest of the congregation remain seated. So I say to those, if you'd come forward, that's lovely. Thank you. So I say to those of you who are candidates for baptism, do you wish to be baptized? Now the next question is addressed to those who are about to be confirmed and who have been baptized at some point in the past. Have you been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Are you ready from your own mouth and from your own heart to affirm your faith in Jesus Christ? Would the congregation please stand? Faith is the gift of God to his people. In baptism, the Lord is adding to our number those whom he is calling. People of God, will you welcome these candidates and uphold them in their life in Christ?
With the help of God.
In baptism, God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. To follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with him. Therefore, I ask you, the candidates, these questions. Do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God? Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil? Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbor? Do you turn to Christ as Savior? Do you submit to Christ as Lord? Do you come to Christ the way, the truth, and the life? Do not be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ crucified. Fight valiantly as a disciple of Christ against sin, the world, and the devil, and remain faithful to Christ to the end of your life. May Almighty God deliver you from the powers of darkness, restore in you the image of his glory, and lead you in the light and obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Praise God who made heaven and earth.
Peace is promised forever.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Lord of the heavens, we bless your name for all your servants who have been a sign of your grace through the ages. You delivered Noah from the waters of destruction. You divided the waters of the sea. And by the hand of Moses, you led your people from slavery into the promised land. You made a new covenant in the blood of your Son, that all who confess your name may, by the Holy Spirit, enter the covenant of grace, receive a pledge of the kingdom of heaven, and share in the divine nature. Fill these waters, we pray, with the power of that same Spirit, that all who enter them may be reborn and rise from the grave to new life in Christ. As the apostles and prophets, the confessors and martyrs, faithfully served you in their generation, may we be built into an eternal dwelling for you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, I now ask you to profess, together with our candidates, the faith of the Church. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He
Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? Of you. Is this your faith?
This is my faith.
Who's going to be first? I should move that out of the way.
Kerry.
If you could just bend over here. Kerry, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.